Okay. Michelle, am I good to go?
You're good to go, sir.
Thank you. You need permission.
You need permission for willpower.
Okay, Rachel, I hand it over to you.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. The next topic is primary financial statement project, the agenda paper 9. Today's purpose of the session is to provide update on the project. Board made a decision about scope in December, so we will clarify what's the decision made by board. So in terms of the project relationship with ASAF, we have discussion in July 2016 meeting, and ASAF supported our direction about focusing on the structure and contents of the statements of financial performance. And the board decision in December is basically in line with the comments received from ASAF. And in July, we received various useful comments from ASAF members, and we incorporated these comments to the project scope as well. Thank you very much for your valuable comments. So let's move on to slide 3. Before we go into detail, let me clarify what is the question for today's session. Today's question is, do you have any question or comments on the scope of the project and the possible solutions identified in slide 6 to 14? We will also talk about specific possible approaches we are exploring right now, and if you have any comments on these specific approaches, we also appreciate your comments. And the next slide explains the stage of the project. So let me remind you, this primary financial statement project is still a very early stage research project. So board just decided scope in December, and the major focus is on the statements of financial performance and some target improvements in the statement of cash flows as well. At a later stage, the board will decide whether we will issue discussion paper or exposure draft. In December, board did not reach conclusion about we will move on to discussion paper or exposure draft. There is a pros and cons. It might take time for discussion paper. At the same time, we might have to go to discussion paper to discuss the issues in detail. So the board will decide this decision later. Slide 5, the next slide is the overview of the December board decision. In terms of the statements of financial performance, the board decided to requiring some subtotal and also providing some guidance to incorporate some of the management performance measures and also try to explore better communication of OCI. In terms of the statements of cash flows, we have some narrow scope improvements. I will explain this in detail a little bit later. On the other hand, for the statements of financial position and the statement of changes in equity, the board decided at this stage we didn't pursue any specific changes other than the developments of the template, which will affect all the primary financial statements, and also try to achieve further disaggregation. So the templates for the primary financial statements and achieving greater disaggregation, these topics we will also explore, which cover every primary financial statement. So let us move on to the each specific area. Slide 6 explains requiring EBIT subtotal. In the July meeting, some ASAF members commented that it might be easier to define EBIT rather than operating profit. And we have a World Standard Setters meeting in September, and it really proved that's correct, because we asked, what's the operating profit in your mind? And we received so many kinds of comments, and we kind of realized the ASAF comments in July was really appropriate. So, defining EBIT is relatively easier, that's for sure, and we are now thinking about how we can introduce EBIT. That's for slide 6. And slide 7, on the other hand, still we received some comments we should require operating profit subtotal. So because the operating profit is widely used term in various meaning, so it might be challenging. And also, if we define EBIT, it might be duplicate to have both EBIT and operating profit. Nonetheless, we will consider this point as well. The slide 8 and slide 9 is trying to incorporate management performance measures. In dry meeting, the other ASF members also commented that preparers can present adjusted subtotal in addition to any standard subtotal because the management performance measure is also useful for investor decision. So we are thinking about how we can incorporate these management performance measures in the income statement as well. So possibly some kind of standardized subtotal such as EBIT and management performance measure. I think this kind of combination will be very beneficial for users because investor can do screening by using the standardized subtotal and also management subtotal provide performance of the entity. And the items in between two subtotals clarify what's the items company adjusted. So these are the area we are now thinking about. On the slide 9, this is another area of incorporating management performance measure. We noted that these days many investors rely on companies' adjusted EPS. At the same time, investors are saying that as long as these adjusted EPS are provided outside of the financial statements, there is an issue of transparency. It's not clear what's in the calculation. So chances are we might provide some guidance when company provide this kind of adjusted EPS inside of the financial statement. That's the slide 9. And the slide 10 is the better ways to communicate information about OCI. We received some comments at the ASF meeting. We should think about OCI. And later on, we did an extensive outreach to user community whether we should work on this area, especially this project is focusing on presentation of the financial statements. And we did not receive a lot of demand from the user community. The user community is basically saying that we should focus on subtotal or performance measures because these are more burning issues for users. Nonetheless, we decided to try to explore some ways to improve communication of OCI. So at this stage, we have not really decided what we can do, but we will think about better ways to communicate OCI. And the next page, we are moving on to the cash flow statement. In terms of the cash flow statement, this is really target outreach, like eliminating, target improvements, eliminating options, or changing the starting point of cash flow statement because we found that there is a diversity in practice. So these are the area in the cash flow statement. And slide 12 and 13 is dealing with the possible development of the illustrative example or template. So we will think about if we can develop any template, and then we will think about whether we should require, we should just encourage. And slide 14, this is the last item, is the developing a principle for disaggregation. Disaggregation is the other area ASF member commented on to focus on. So we will find, we will try to find the way to achieve further disaggregation. So thank you very much. So these are the area we are working on right now.
Okay. Roberto.
That happens once in your life. Okay, that's by my suggestion because I've seen too many abuses of this.
Sung Su.
Thank you. The AOSG members generally supported the scope of this project, but one member suggested instead of providing illustrative financial statements, the ISB developed principles or guidance for the structure and the format of financial statements. And this member also suggested that the ISB should review this project's effects of, on the other IFRSs. For example, paragraph 134 IAS 19, employee benefits, states that, Especially the ISB should consider its effect on IAS 19, for example, because if IAS 1 requires EBIT type subtotal, defines financing activities and prescribes the treatment of interest cost of the pension, it affects the accounting treatment of IAS 19. And regarding requirement of subtotals, the AOSG members generally agreed with the principles-based definition of the subtotals. However, they are concerned whether the subtotals can be comparable between companies. And one member is Hong Kong, mentioned that the investors are focused on what is a sustainable performance, and it is different among companies and industries. This member suggested general principles of operating profit. Operating profit should reflect the performance of a core business and the principal activity, and it should be pertinent to its core business and respective. This member suggested three key principles of operating activity, operating profit, that is transparency, comparability, and consistency. And regarding recurring and non-recurring items, the AOSG members are concerned about diversity in practice. Hong Kong is concerned that the recurring items could be interpreted as items that will appear in the financial statements year on year, in practice, regardless whether they are core to the operations of business. And regarding OCI items, the AOSG members generally thought that the ISB should define robust underlying principles of OCI in a positive way before finding a way to communicate OCI with users. One suggested that it should be required to disclose clearly the nature of the OCI items on the face of the final statements with the referred footnotes. And regarding this aggregation, a member suggested that this project should first explore how and what level of this aggregation would lead to enhanced relevance, and understandability of financial statements for users. And lastly, regarding the presentation of interest and dividends within the cash flow statement, one jurisdiction is concerned that eliminating the options for different presentation may contradict the cohesiveness principle between different financial statements. This is because companies even within the same industry would manage their business differently, especially regarding the interest and the dividend option of presentation. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Patrick?
Thank you. we think that it's a very interesting project on which it is absolutely key to try to progress. I say to try because it's not going to be easy. it's a difficult project because it addresses in a multi... I know it's already difficult in countries, in one country, like the US, it's not easy. So in a multi-jurisdiction, it's even more complex. However, it is absolutely needed in order to be able to compare. Also, I think it is extremely important with a view to taxonomy, because the digitalization of financial reporting is going to introduce a level of standardization of presentation. And therefore, if we don't do it, if the standard setters do not do it, that might be coming via other sources of standard setting. And I think, therefore, we are bound to consider the topic. I share the view expressed by Alberto that the non-recurring have been, of course, used in too many different ways now, and that they need to be. This needs to be clarified. And you would be disappointed if I was not mentioning OCI. So obviously, OCI. I don't want to have the debate here, but two observations. The first one is that today it's a very ambiguous notion, and therefore, which is used by the preparers and also by users, as you mentioned, in a very different way. And most of the time, leaving it aside to a large extent and concentrated on the quote-unquote traditional profit and loss statement, and considering OCI as some sort of addition, a little unclear, a little ambiguous, the components of which are not fully grasped, and therefore OCI is ambiguous and requires clarity. I see in your examples that you hesitate a little bit. Sometimes it's directly in the profit and loss in the statement of performance. Sometimes it's divided a little bit. So sometimes it's not even mentioned. So it's interesting to see your own hesitation on the topic, and I think we need to clarify that. And my question, my second observation, is: should it not be, in the interest of information, a separate statement, quite frankly, that where you wouldn't, you know, the debate between no, it's part of performance. Yes, it's part of performance. So no, it's not part of performance. I think the predictive and informative nature of an OCI statement per se is significant. If we clarify a little bit the components and explain the variations over time, and maybe introducing in a disclosure the timing that is related to each and every item, because that's what is more predictive. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Kimberly.
I think the question around the scope, I think, is consistent with what I think most of us have said previously. I think it's right to focus on the statements that you're looking at. EBIT, agree that it's a good idea to look at that. Also a good idea to look at further disaggregation, and certainly looking at that OCI, given that it seems like it's now becoming even more prevalent, to have a look at what's there. And I think the fact that people aren't looking at it now is symptomatic of the fact that we don't really know what it is. It's a collection of things, and so the more that can be done on that would be helpful. In terms of, you know, operating profit and recurring, non-recurring, I think you've already acknowledged the challenges in doing that. Also acknowledge that clearly people are looking for some help. So I think, you know, at the very least, it is important to explore those things. Definitely support a principle-based solution to that. And while recognising that people are concerned about alternative performance measures, and that part of the driver of this is to get greater consistency, particularly because IS1 is very flexible at the moment, and people are concerned that people are taking advantage of that too much flexibility, and are therefore not providing useful information, but rather potentially misleading information. So appreciate the concerns, that's the driver behind this. But I think in the interests of trying to achieve greater consistency, we shouldn't lose sight of relevance. And I think that's one of the concerns, picking up a little here about potentially describing the treatment of certain items, where it could be that the variation could be simply a matter of the different business model that people are having. So it's not necessarily playing games, they're actually looking at what's the most effective way to communicate their performance, and that comes back to the central theme. This is supposed to be about improving effective communication. So in the drive to achieve greater consistency, we shouldn't lose sight of relevance, and that was a concern, and particularly like your comments around if we should have illustrative financial statements, should we make them potentially mandatory? That sort of set some alarm bells around, are we actually going too far? On the one hand, today it's too flexible, we don't want to become too rigid, and because at the end of the day that's not going to be helpful, and people will still continue to have alternative performance measures, will have adjusted operating profit and whatever terms that they will invent. So we won't actually necessarily solve the problem if we make it too rigid. So I think with those cautions, I think this could be a very valuable project. We just need to be careful about not going overboard.
Thank you.
I think that's going to be one of our key challenges, because there's quite a group of investors who are very keen on the improving comparability. So we're going to have to look at both sides of that coin. Andreas.
My comments are very similar to Kimberly's, really. I think we need to be careful that we don't throw the baby with the bathwater, really, because we have virtually nothing today, and I'm fearful that the pendulum swings just to the other extreme, really, and we become overly prescriptive. And I think the more prescriptive we become, the greater the danger of alternative performance measures, as Kimberly has said. I fully agree on that one. I tend to akin this to the previous discussion on making the quote-unquote correct split between debt and equity. We know what's happening outside. I mean, nobody takes that line for granted, but seems to fiddling around and adding back and cutting out and God knows what. Are we really confident that this achieves the primary goal of greater comparability? On paper, yes, but does it really achieve a common understanding of what do we precisely mean by operating profit? What do we mean by EBIT? We could come up with a definition and make everybody apply that definition, probably consistently, but if people out there have a different understanding of what EBIT means for me or operating profit means for you, then we haven't really achieved, I think, what this is meant to achieve. To me, this is rather not only an exercise on how to do it right on paper, it's about thinking. And to align and achieve consistency in thinking alive is a much bigger effort, I think. This certainly contributes to it, but I think we have to be cognizant of not going to the extreme end.
Thank you. First of all, we support the project and also support the board to work on this project, because it will eventually provide useful information for the user needs. If we don't do that, national standards may have to do that. Our analysts or users, they will have to do that, because sometimes bottom line is important, but disaggregation of those components of the bottom lines is also very important. So we support and I appreciate that the effort has been, the outcome has been achieved. Secondly, I also wonder that the final product will be, you know, mandatory or guidance. I also agree with Andrews and Kimberly said that maybe we need some flexibility on this project. And thirdly, some new, we are trying to provide some subtotals, operating profit, so we have to, maybe we have to define operating, the meaning of operating, and also recurring or non-recurring. So this kind of new notion, maybe we need to define or explain further. And finally, I'm thinking about the relationship between this project as well as other projects such as existing IS1. One of the issues come out from my mind is that based on IS1, if we are present income statement, the expensive items, there is an option that the entities can present expenses items based on nature of function. Mm-hmm. And the current proposal actually based on the nature of the expenses. And the problems for Chinese companies is that all the Chinese companies, they are required, actually our standards require that all the expense items, they based on the presented based on the function, not based on the nature. So this is a big problem because they have to get changes, a very big changes, because all of the items, actually most of the items achieved are based on the nature of the expenses. So I'm thinking not big changes for the current standards, but also for the entities, because they have to, if we introduce these new standards, I'm thinking about how they can achieve the past year's comparative financial data. Because it's based on the IT system, based on their internal sources of those data. So I'm thinking whether we will change the IS1 to reduce the option, to change the, you know, all the expensive items will be based on the nature of the expenses, not based on the function. But if we did so, it will be a big change for Chinese accounts.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this kind of easy way will come out.
Okay. Yeah. That's useful to know. Thank you. Andrew.
Thanks. Well, I agree with most of what's been said already, so I'll try to be brief. We support the project. We think it's very important. Regarding scope, overall, I think it's focused on the right issues. When we discussed this most recently with our consultative forum of standard setters, a few members did actually ask for some attention paid to the statement of changes in equity, where there's certainly a number of different ways of presenting that statement, but we appreciate your need to prioritise and focus, so I'll sort of leave that with you. Yeah, overall, when I sort of distill the feedback I've received in our various forums, there's a call for some more standardisation, but not too much. So good luck with that. It's a question of finding a sweet spot is the best.
Right.
And people will have different views on when you found the most appropriate sweet spot. But I think the general message is clear enough. And that leads me on to this suggestion that the ISB might develop templates. I mean, that might not be a bad idea, but I think you need to be very careful about the expected status or the status and expected usage of these templates. I prefer, I think, a phrase used later of illustrative financial statements. Clearly, if they come from the ISB, they could be treated with a greater degree of authority and rigidity than the publications that our friends in the international accounting firms put out into the market. So, try to avoid the word template. A number of our constituents echoed your comment, Kojiro, that perhaps seeking to define EBIT might be more factible, might be more feasible than seeking to define operating profit, calling you to kind of abandon the quest to define operating profit, but be realistic, as Patrick said, it won't be easy. Picking up on Alberto's comment of being clear on non-recurring, personally I don't like the phrase non-recurring in this context. I don't quite know what the better adjective might be. Usual range of suspects, but I think non-recurring is inherently predictive and likely to be an inherently wrong prediction, I expect. So maybe there's a better term. And finally, really, I think on the slide 10, that's just the first cut example of trying to communicate OCI more comprehensively. I think that's a worthwhile endeavour. I think specified long-term revaluations, again, is perhaps implying something that shouldn't be implied. There's no, you can designate under IFRS 9 equities for that option, regardless of whether they're going to be held for the long term or somewhat shorter term, as long as they're not held for trading. So again, maybe there's a better adjective that can be used.
Yeah. Thanks, Sue. Yeah, also, similarly, not to repeat a lot of what has been said, so supportive, but you know, it's not going to be an easy project. Just on the operating profit, I mean, just to put it out there, in South Africa, listed companies have to disclose what's called headline earnings. Now, I don't know, I guess, from people in the UK, whether or not the Financial Times still calculates a headline earnings number. I don't know if they do. Anybody? No, they don't anymore. Okay. So they used to, so I understand that it was only South Africa and the Financial Times which actually required this. So we have a circular which specifies the calculation. It's really rules-based because we needed to avoid too much judgment about, you know, what people wanted in and out. It's not meant to be a sustainable earnings, although if you speak to many people, that's what they think it is, but it's not meant to be. It's effectively meant to distinguish results that relate to your capital, sort of platform of the business, from your operations. So as an example, impairments of fixed assets, that's a capital item that would be out of your headline earnings. Impairments of goodwill, therefore, they would all be out of headline earnings. But, for example, a restructuring cost that relates to, you know, terminating employment contracts, relocating assets, that type of thing, that wouldn't be part of your capital platform. So even though it might be regarded as non-recurring or whatever, they would still be part of your operating activity. So I'd say it might be worthwhile, you know, having a look at that, and maybe that might be a basis for that. Just to echo the comments that Andrew and Alberto made just on the non-recurring, I certainly would, you know, suggest or strongly encourage not using the words recurring or non-recurring. I think what needs to be clarified is this intended to be a measure of the way management sort of see their performance, or is this meant to be more of an objective basis? Because I mean, I don't really believe or see any feasible way of defining recurring, non-recurring. I mean, how does one ever know in year one whether or not this thing is ever going to happen again? And so, again, I'm also not too sure what the point is. So, you know, whether or not, is this meant to be a sort of the way management sees their performance? Is that the intention? So I think that's something to have a look at. And yeah, I mean, I think that even if there is some sort of standardization, I suppose it may not stop people from still coming up with their adjusted earnings numbers, because they still might have a different view. That's just going to be the
always. Yeah. No,
yes, thank you. We have three comments. The first, I think you won't be surprised to hear from us, but that we believe that profit or loss is extremely important. And the communication of OCI items that is part of the project plan, I think, should be considered in the context of how to show profit or loss prominently and other OCI items separately. We are a bit concerned to see that some of the proposals seem to obscure the presentation of profit or loss, and if that's the case, we will likely to disagree with your proposal. Our second comment relates to subtotals. We think the ISP should not require the presentation of subtotals just because users say they like to have these subtotals. It is more important to explain the objective of the subtotals or how users use them for their own analysis, or otherwise it will be very difficult to convince the preparers to actually provide those information. So we would like to propose that. Our third comment is about the template for specific industries. Based on our experience, the difficulty always has been conglomerates, where you have, for example, a manufacturing company with a huge financial sub, and you can't really use the bank template or the manufacturing template because you have a mix of those in one entity. So our suggestion would be that just keep them as illustrative examples rather than make them mandatory. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda.
So just a couple of comments, but first some background. About 3 weeks ago, I participated in two panel discussions that were sponsored by the CFA Society. And we had one that was focused on buy-side analysts and one that was focused on sell-side analysts. And these were the most senior analysts within Canada, represented a very wide you know, industry side of things. Now, the primary focus of the discussion was around the relevance of the audited financial statements. I was on the panel. My counterpart on the auditing board was on the panel. They were more interested on kind of how they could make the audit more relevant, but these guys wanted to talk about the content of the financial statements. So the good news is they all say that the audited financial statements are still relevant. That said, if you actually started probing with them, and I have the list of what they actually use in making their decisions, they said that they use the financial statements for about 20% of the information they need, and then they gave us the laundry list of other places that they go. And if you're interested in that, that's fine. But the good news was, as they said, that it was still very important to have the financial statements. They did very much talk about this notion of having alternative measures, but what they were very clear on, and they liked the idea that they would have alternative measures as part of the audited statements, because then you were getting the benefit of the assurance. And by the way, if you could just hurry up and do non-GAAP measures and give them audited non-GAAP measures, they really like that. But there you go. But what was really interesting that they all finally did agree, both the buy side and the sell side agreed that you only can do that on the basis of industries. You can't do it more generally. So this is the balance between can you do EBIT for everybody? Maybe you can. But they were very clear based on your templates, I think on slide 13, that you have to really consider kind of industry specifics. And so if you're in the telecom industry, you know, revenue per subscriber, some of those key metrics. And so they were really focused on that as well. But they did go back to the notion of if you could embed any of this, these alternatives into some sort of statement, that was also within the framework of the financial statements, like the audited financial statements, that they would place more reliance on the financial statements. So I thought that part of it was particularly valuable. Thanks, Linda. Sorry.
A more general point here. The minor point here is this, and slide 13 got the example of a bank here. I believe we should include loan losses here, otherwise it's going to be a very happy bank in terms of a presentation here. So it's quite unlikely to have a, if you plan to use this as a template. I believe it's important that, and also to summarize, it's mostly used as a revenue line, so it's just to be more typical of a bank. Well, this is a temptation. Most people like it and say, well, finally you're going to have a comparison with IFRS among firms, but I don't know if it's, I believe this temptation is very dangerous, because I believe what think of people are expecting to see at the end of the day is not what they are going to receive. First of all, it's conglomerates, and then you cannot give examples of every sector of the economy, and including different countries that have different transactions. So at the end of the day, it's some sort of holy grail that should be very nice if you could achieve it. But I'm very skeptical that we're going to achieve that. So something that will not end up making us worse than we are at the moment. So I would prefer something more generic, some principles of presentation. And one thing that maybe is included is the need to reconciliate everything to accounting profit. We got experience in Brazil about the EBITDA. What people did in Brazil is that, well, there was a lot of strong pressure to issue some sort of rule regarding EBITDA. And what they did is they issued a statement requiring every company that use any sort of non-pure accounting measure, like recurring item or something like that, to make a complete reconciliation to accounting profit, to the bottom line. So you, it doesn't matter what you use, but you have to explain that in detail, how to get that number. So maybe it's a solution that's been used in Brazil. So you can use anything you want, but you must prepare a statement showing how did you get from accounting profit, pure accounting profit, bottom line, to that number. So I would be very careful with this.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Thank you, Kojura.
May I briefly come back some of the aspects?
Very well. We've run out of time.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. So no.